Well, it's already the fourth Sunday in Advent. The candle that we light is the angel candle, so it's appropriate today that we talk about angels. Christmas angels. There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What does an angel look like? In movies and on television, they sometimes look like ordinary people. They seem to spend their time on earth doing good deeds, maybe trying to earn their wings. In paintings, angels sometimes appear as lovely women with full-length, feathery white wings, or as chubby winged babies hovering in the air like bumblebees. The angels we hear about today or see in pictures are nothing like real angels. Angels are mentioned often throughout the entire Bible, but not as beautiful women or fat infants or good humans turning into something better. The best description of real angels is that they are awesome. Those who met angels had no doubt that they had met messengers from God. Although angels usually appeared in human shape and without wings, they almost always terrified the people who saw them. Before an angel could announce God's message, it must calm its listeners. "Don't be afraid," were usually the first words out of an angel's mouth. Such kind words are a comfort from these mighty creatures that the Bible tells us guard, defend, and take care of God's people. Angels are not equal to God. They are not like humans, and people do not turn into angels when they die. Angels were created by God just as humans were. Angels are God's servants and God's messengers. They form His army, and there are countless numbers of them. Angels carry out God's judgment. He uses them to battle evil and punish evildoers. He also uses them to help and protect believers. When angels appear in human form, they always look like men, never like women or children. But since Jesus said that angels do not marry, we assume that they are not divided into sexes as humans are. They are spirit beings, not bodily beings like humans. They show themselves with wind and fire and brilliant lights. Angels are powerful, but not all-powerful. They are intelligent, but not all-knowing. The Bible says that God's people will one day judge angels. Many religions and cultures have tried to discover the details of angels' names, jobs, and categories. Most of these attempts are just fancy guesses. One popular system devised by Christian scholars in the Middle Ages claimed that there were nine choirs of angels in three groups of three. From highest to lowest, the ranks were given seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, virtues, powers, principalities, archangels, and angels. The Bible describes seraphim as creatures with six wings. They stand near God's throne and praise His holiness and power. The cherubim of the Bible are as different from the cherubs on Valentine's Day cards as anything could be. The prophet Ezekiel saw them in a vision of God's majesty as they held up His throne. They appeared in a windstorm with clouds and flashing lightning. Each of the cherubim had four wings, two human hands, four faces, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of a bull, and the face of an eagle. The beating of their wings sounded like a waterfall. The prophet Daniel was visited several times by angels. His description of an angel is one of the most detailed in the Bible. "There before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was the sound of a multitude." Two angels are named in the Bible, Gabriel and the archangel Michael. Michael is a prince among angels and the protector of Israel. He leads God's armies in battle. Gabriel is a messenger from God to His servants. It was Gabriel who announced the birth of Jesus' cousin John to Zechariah, John's father. Gabriel also told Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus. Perhaps it was Gabriel who warned the Magi to escape from Herod. An angel also appeared four times to Joseph in dreams to tell him what he should do. And an angel appeared with a great company of the heavenly angel army to tell the good news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds. Angels appear eight times in the Christmas story. They are part of almost every event that is told of Jesus' birth. A king's birth is usually marked by ceremony, celebration, and riches. The birth of the King of Kings was noticed by animals and shepherds, a humble mother and her carpenter husband in the quiet of a stable. The Christmas angels were the sign that his birth was not at all what it seemed to be. The Christmas angels delivered a message that witnesses to all of creation across all of time. That day, in the city of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ was born. He is Lord of the universe, creator of the angels, and humanity's savior. Well did the angel shout, "Glory to God in the highest." Does anybody remember what the first candle was? Prophecy candle. And then the second candle was the shepherd's candle. The third was the Bethlehem candle. And today it's the angel candle.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
I'm just going to read a verse from Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. You're going to say, how could this verse possibly fit into a Christmas message? Well, I'm going to fit it in for you. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it's about the flood of Noah. And in verse 3, it says, "The Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years." And the Spirit of God there was warning the people that he was going to bring a flood upon the world and destruction and death and he was calling them to himself, calling the people to himself. We're going to talk a little more about that in a moment. We began this series on the signs of Advent by looking at the prophecies of the Old Testament, which declared that a Messiah was coming, that the Anointed One was coming. By the way, Anointed One is what the word Messiah means. Messiah means Anointed One in Hebrew. And Christ means Anointed One in Greek. So when you talk about Jesus Christ, that's not his last name. It's Jesus the Anointed One, the one that the people of Israel were expecting. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Christ. So we saw the prophecies in the Old Testament that were predicting that a Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, would come to the people of God. Then we looked at the preparations that God made over the 400 years of silence between the prophet Malachi and the coming of John the Baptist. We looked at that the second week. The third week, last week, we looked at the participants in the Advent. We looked at the different people that were there and what they said about Christ and what was said about them in the preparation for the coming of Christ. And we saw that Christ was born and came through Mary. And today we're going to look at the power of the Holy Spirit in the advent of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit in the advent of Christ. And really we're going to do a survey of the Spirit of God from the beginning of creation to the end of creation. But we're going to look as well in his work in the advent of Christ. God reveals himself in the Bible as one God in three persons. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all perfectly united in their purpose, perfectly united in fellowship together, one God revealed in three persons. What God the Father purposes, God the Son fulfills, and God the Holy Spirit empowers and applies. That seems to be the way things work. The purpose comes from God the Father. The Son fulfills that purpose, and then the Spirit of God applies that to individual lives and empowers the work of God the Son and God the Father. We first meet the Holy Spirit in the second verse of Genesis. Genesis 1:2, it says there, the Spirit of God was moving over the waters at creation. So the Holy Spirit and His power was involved from the very beginning of creation. And we see Him there along with God the Father and God the Son creating the world. We are told in Colossians 1, that Jesus Christ is part of the creation, had part in creating the creation of God as well as God the Father. We read of the Spirit of God when He was calling men to righteousness in Genesis chapter 6, and I read that verse at the beginning of the service. We're told in the New Testament that the Spirit of God was calling people to repentance through the preaching of Noah. As Noah built the ark for 120 years, He was also calling people to join Him to come into the ark when God was going to send judgment upon the world. And they just laughed at Him and thought it was just a big joke. And it did come to pass, even as God said. But through the preaching of Noah, the Spirit of God was calling people to repentance at that time. The power of the Spirit marked the ministry of Moses. Let me read to you a verse from Numbers chapter 11. All these scripture verses are in your bulletin. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take this of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." So God anointed Moses with the Spirit of God and 70 of the elders as well to help him in the work of God. We see the Holy Spirit working through the prophets. And we're told that the scriptures were actually written by the work of God's Spirit. Peter writes this, "Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." We see God anointing with His Spirit David the king and many of the other kings as well, if they were obedient to God and worshiped God. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Because God's Spirit was on David, he was able to kill the giant. He didn't kill the giant by his own muscles, but by the work of the Spirit that was upon him, the anointing of the Spirit of God upon his life. Throughout the Old Testament, we find the Spirit of God working with power to apply God's purposes and God's plans upon His people. And then when we come to the advent of Christ, we find very much the same thing as well. The Spirit of God working in the original participants of the advent. When the angel Gabriel announced John's birth to Zechariah, he said that John, Zechariah's son, would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. This might have happened when Mary visited Elizabeth. We're told that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings and the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're told Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that could have been very well the same time that John the Baptist was filled in his womb with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth said to Mary, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." So there was a response there with an understanding there, a recognition in this little baby that the woman that was speaking with him was going to bring to birth the Lord that he was going to serve. Being filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb had never happened before. It's not mentioned in Scripture. And perhaps this is one reason why Jesus said that John was the greatest man that had ever been born up to that point in time. And I want to show you that verse in Matthew 11, 11. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, I want to show you that statement that Jesus makes about John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 11. In verse 10, he says, "This is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" So John was the one that was predicted to come to be the forerunner, the one who went ahead of the Messiah that was to come. Then he says in verse 11, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Quite a statement to make. John the Baptist was the greatest of anyone that had ever been born up to that time. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. He was the forerunner, the one who was announcing the Christ. He was there when all the fulfillments of the Old Testament prophecies were coming to pass. And he had a great privilege, a great purpose in God's plan. And Jesus says, no one has risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. But I want you to see what the very next statement here that Jesus says in verse 11 as well. He says, yet, even though John the Baptist is greater than anyone who has ever come before, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now that is an incredible statement. Everyone here who knows Jesus Christ is greater than John the Baptist as far as the reckoning of God and Jesus Christ. Since the ascension of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to form the church, God is calling all men and women to repent from their sins and to receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And when a person receives God's forgiveness in Christ, it says they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to look at that verse towards the end of the message here. They're joined to the body of Christ. Now that had never happened before John the Baptist. That is a unique experience to the Christian in the New Testament situation, that they are born into God's kingdom. They are filled with the Spirit of God. They are joined to the body of Christ, and they become an organic relationship with the head, who is Christ. Today, the most ordinary believer is greater than John because they have the Holy Spirit within them. They're in union with the living Christ, and they belong to the church of God. And it's not an organization, it's an organism where Christ is the head, and we are all members of his church. A great privilege to be part of the body of Christ. When we're filled with that Spirit, it says in Romans chapter 8 that Spirit cries out to God, and it says, "Abba, Father." There's that understanding that we are one with God in Christ and part of God's family. John never had that experience. The Holy Spirit filled him from his birth. He was empowered by the Spirit, but he was not connected with all the other Christians in that organic relationship the way we are today in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God came upon the Old Testament saints and empowered them, but never joined them to other Christians and to Christ the way God has done since the cross. So the most ordinary believer is greater than John because he has or she has the Spirit of God in union with the living Christ and in communion with the other saints. When John was born, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave an amazing prophecy of what God was doing with John and with the birth of Jesus Christ. You can read that in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her that she would give birth to a son. And he said, "Call him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." Gabriel told Mary that this child would be called the Son of the Most High, that he would be the son of David, whose kingdom would never end, that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Incredible statement that Gabriel made to Mary. And Mary responded by saying, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." It would be the Spirit of God that would bring conception into Mary's life. And through that work of the Spirit of God, God's purpose would be fulfilled. God's servant would be empowered, and Mary would give birth to this child and name him Jesus. God the Son was born into this world untouched and unblemished by the sin of Adam because he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit working in Mary. The only human being ever born who was not contaminated with Adam's sin nature, and therefore he could be a perfect sacrifice on the cross for sin. Having no sin himself, he didn't have to die for sin, but died in our place. And finally, after the birth of Jesus, when Joseph took Mary and the baby to the temple to fulfill the purification offering and to consecrate Jesus Christ as the firstborn to God, they met a man named Simeon. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's anointed. And when Simeon saw the baby Jesus, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "This is the Messiah that I promised that you would see before you died and passed away." And so Simeon praised God that he had seen the fulfillment of God's salvation. Even in this baby, Simeon, by the Spirit of God, knew this baby was to be the salvation of Israel. Simeon is one of the great examples of how the Spirit of God prepares people for the coming of Jesus Christ. He was enabled by the Spirit to see things that were truly happening where others did not see it happening at all. Well, the four Gospels don't tell us about how the Holy Spirit worked to bring the wise men to visit Jesus, or how the Spirit of God directed Caesar Augustus to make a decree that all the Roman world should be taxed, or how the Spirit of God worked in Joseph to take Mary as his wife, or to take him to Egypt, and so on. We see the angels, as we heard this morning, involved in that. We know that the Holy Spirit was also very much involved in all of those different incidents. And we're not given an in-depth description of all these things, but just highlighted how the Spirit of God was working in the time of Advent with Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ grew up, he also was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. John says this about Jesus: "The one whom God sent," which is Jesus, "speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit to him without limit." The Spirit of God worked in Jesus Christ without limit. Everything Jesus did on earth was not because he was God come to earth, but it was because the Spirit of God was working in him. He never used any of his God powers while he was here, but worked by the power of the Spirit working through his life and touching others. And that encourages us that God can work by his Spirit in our lives as well as we submit ourselves to God. By the Spirit of God, Jesus healed the sick, drove out demons, and preached the kingdom of God. God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Spirit. You have the verses in your bulletin, so I hope you look them up. So not only was Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, not only did he minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, but he was also raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been active in God's work from the beginning of creation, all through the Moses and the prophets and the kings, and through the birth of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and now through the church and through God's people. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to earth to live in his people so that Jesus could be with his disciples by being in his disciples, something that had never happened before. God was with his people. Jesus was with his people, and now he would be in his people. This is what the verse that I read at the beginning of the service. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And so since Pentecost, the Spirit of God has been able to live in every single Christian. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33, to live in his people on the day of Pentecost, and on that day the church was born by the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus was born to Mary by the Holy Spirit, so the church, the body of Christ, was born by the Holy Spirit. Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has directed the affairs of the church and empowered and gifted the church for its worldwide mission to make disciples of all the nations. The Holy Spirit of God has been at work since the beginning of time to empower God's purposes and to apply God's purposes to individual lives, and the Holy Spirit continues in that ministry today. Now I want to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Let me read that to you from the NIV. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. These verses are addressed to Christians. It says there they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, and they believed. They heard they were sinners. They heard they could not save themselves. They heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save them. They believed God's message. God saved them from their sin. God saved them from the judgment of hell that was coming upon them. And God filled them with his Holy Spirit. We're told that having believed, they were marked as belonging to Christ with a seal, the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. That's the kind of seal of approval you want on your life. Not the good housekeeping seal, but the seal of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Everyone who belongs to Christ is spiritually alive because the Holy Spirit has made them spiritually alive. No spirit in your life, no spiritual life, no salvation. I don't care how many cards you've signed, how many times you've gone to the front at a revival meeting or anything like that. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life, you do not belong to God. This seal is the seal of God's ownership upon everyone who truly belongs to Jesus Christ. Livestock, slaves, different items were branded with the seal of the master to show the owner that these items belonged to him. And so God seals us with the Holy Spirit to show that we belong to him. So this Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ promised to would come fills every single person who truly belongs to him, and that's the seal of God's ownership upon that person's life. There's one more thing here, a very exciting thing as well. The seal of the Holy Spirit is also a guarantee that we will inherit the eternal life that God has promised us. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is the down payment that guarantees that you will receive the full inheritance that God has promised to you in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the first installment of the complete promise of God. And so if you're enjoying life in the Spirit here in this sinful world, that's just a deposit of what God has for each and every one of those who truly belong to him. The Holy Spirit is our foretaste of the fullness that God has for those who belong to him. So just as the Holy Spirit of God conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary, so the Holy Spirit of God wants to bring the life of Jesus into your spirit and raise you from spiritual death to eternal life. And he wants to seal you with his Spirit, the stamp of his ownership upon your life, the guarantee of the fullness of the inheritance that he has promised you. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for those who love him." We can't imagine what it will be like when we are fully in God's presence. It's right around the corner for each and every one of us, really, when you think about it. In the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22 of Revelation, with no S. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 is a wonderful verse there. Here we have not only the Spirit of God, but the church itself calling out to everyone around to come to Christ before the end of time. Let me read that verse to you. Verse 17 of chapter 22. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Let's all join in this chorus together, inviting people to come to God and be forgiven of their sin and be filled with the Spirit of God. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And that's where we're at today. The Spirit is calling people to Himself. The church is calling people to Christ and to repentance and to be filled with the Spirit of God. Christmas is about the birth of Christ, but it's the beginning because it leads to the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ and the sending of the sending of the Spirit of God to bring to birth the church. And through the church, there's the appeal to everyone. Come and join in the fellowship of God's people through receiving the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Will you come on this Christmas season and ask Christ to save you? If you come to Christ, He will save you from your sins and come and live inside of you by His Spirit, and will give you eternal life. He'll give you that Spirit that is the stamp of His ownership, the Spirit that is that guarantee of the inheritance that He has promised. If you have that Spirit of God in your life this morning, it's time to rejoice at the great privilege that God has given you. God's stamp of ownership is on your life. What more could you ask for now and for eternity? God's guarantee of your inheritance is in your life because you have the Holy Spirit. And it's a foretaste of the great blessings that God has for those who will be with Him for all eternity. We praise God for His great mercies and blessings to us.